Yes, okay. Well, we're going to talk about the seal today, and I'm sure you've heard some of these things before, but I was just stirred, I think, by the Holy Spirit to look into this again. If we can start in Revelation, the 7th chapter, and we'll take the first few verses here. Now, this is, remember the timing of this here is after the sixth seal, okay? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So we're talking about a sealing, but let's take a closer look at these verses. There's some very interesting things here that I think we need to understand. Okay. Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Well, this has to be spiritual language. The earth is not square. We've seen pictures of the earth taken from outer space. It is round, like all the other heavenly bodies that are planets and what have you. They're round. They're a sphere. So what is the four corners of the earth? What does this mean? And it appears what God is saying is that there's an angel in charge of each of these corners. Now, since the earth isn't square, what we do have of four is that we have four directions. Amen. We have north, east, south, and west if we go clockwise around the compass. So there are basically four directions. I mean, there can be something between, between north and east called northeast or southwest or something like that. But basically, there's four points of reference. Now, what do these references speak of outside of the natural realm of the earth? Well, the other thing that I can think of that comes to me, first of all, is the human soul. There are four parts of our soul. We have the mind, we have the will, we have the emotions, we have the desires. And there are things that happen in our life that affect our soul, affect our emotions, affect our will, affect our mind, our thinking. Now, apparently, up to a certain point, these forces have not been fully released yet. Okay, up until a certain point. But after a certain point, these forces will be released. All right? And are they good forces or are they bad? Well, it doesn't sound to me like these are the most desirable things to happen to you. In other words, they're not always going to bring something good into your life, the four winds, okay? So first of all, let's see that God is holding these things back. Now, my understanding is that when these angels release these four winds, you're going to find a lot of these plagues that are spoken of Henceforth, in the book of Revelation, you're going to see them come with a fury. We talked a little bit about the fires of California. One would almost think that some terrible four winds have been released shall we call it, Los Angeles County, which is a very, very heavily populated. It includes a lot of wealthy, very super wealthy homes that are valued in the millions of dollars. Something has been released against them in the form of fire, and not only has the fire been released, but a wind to fan these fires has also been released. So we're just looking in the natural now. In the natural, there's been something released in California. And while the rest of us are covered with snow and ice and this type of thing, even down into southern Texas, I believe, sister said they're getting ice down there. Isn't that right, Glory?
Yeah, we had snow here.
You
And
had snow, and it locked everything down for about 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Connie last Sunday. They had, what, about a foot of snow there in Kansas City? And it seemed to shut everything down for a few days. Virginia, ice, yeah. Talked to my daughter in Virginia. They had ice, closed the school. Husband didn't go to work. Nobody went anywhere. And we're just looking at the weather forecast here. We're supposed to get another lake effect of some sort or another up here in a few days. So something is being, well, what happens up here is what happens every year. So this is not unusual for up here where we live. Anyway. So these angels are holding back. I am totally convinced that the hand of God is holding back the terrible, terrible tribulation. Holding back for what? What are we waiting for, Lord? Why are you holding it back? It's not that I'm asking for it, but I want the kingdom of God to come. If that's what has to happen for the kingdom of God, then let's bring it on. Amen. So let's go to the next verse here. And I saw an angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So what is holding this back is that not only are we waiting, but it appears that God is also waiting. God is waiting on the sons of God. God is waiting for something to happen to us called the sealing of the sons of God. And when he's holding it back, he's saying, "Hurt not the earth." Okay, let's look at these spiritually. The earth is what? The earth is the carnal realm. So don't hurt the carnal realm. Don't do any harm to the outer court church. Let them carry on. Let them be. Neither the sea. All right, this is the world, the unredeemed people of the world. The masses of humanity, masses of people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. They have other religion. They have Hindu. They have Muslim. Masses of the sea. Don't release it on the sea. Nor the trees. Okay. So the trees now are living, but they're the strong. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So these are strong Christians. In other words, something is going to affect the strong Christians as well. In other words, we're all going to see something happen. So Don't release this at this point, is what the angel is crying, until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but what does the forehead symbolize? What would you say sealed in the forehead would be the mind, okay? And what he wants us, the seal, of course, would be having the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, then something is going to be released. But we have to wait, and it would appear to me that the finishing of this sealing process is going to be all at once. In other words, Mike and Howard and Brother Edie, they're not going to be sealed a year ahead of me that they can enter in. Those who are sons of God, we're all going to be entering in at the same time, all right? Because something is going to be released at that point. Let's see. To hurt the earth, first it was to hurt the earth and the sea, okay? They're being held back. But when the angel cried, amen, he included the trees in this too. So let's ask the next question. What is the meaning of a seal? What do you think of? You can unmute and tell me what you think here, because you've got lots of ideas of what a seal is. A seal represents a whole lot of things, and I think that this word seal that's given here in Revelation, I think it includes many of these other things. So where do you encounter a seal in your life? Well, how many of you have electricity that comes to your house through the utility company? Amen? And when you go out and look at that meter, what do you find on that meter?
A seal.
You find a seal. A seal in a form of a little, looks like a little wire with a little piece of lead clamped onto the end of it. What is the purpose of that seal?
To keep somebody from tampering with it?
Yes, mainly to keep the homeowner from tampering with it so that he can cheat the utility company.
It's sealed to the owner.
Pardon?
It is sealed to the owner.
Sealed to the owner, yes. So, all right, there's one form of seal.
I do a lot of canning. So when I put the food in the jar and I put the lid on the jar and I heat it with pressure and it seals the jar. So it seals the food, the good in and the bad out.
And the purpose of that seal is what?
To preserve the food.
To preserve and protect the food from
yes.
any harm, okay? So when we are sealed, it will also be to protect us and to prevent the enemy from tampering with us, okay? We'll be sealed in that manner. We used to, Larry and I used to work for a fellow that, well, it was an office furniture dealer, and when a company would order a whole lot of expensive new furniture, that big truck, that big semi would come, and he'd back up to the door, and before he would open the back end of the truck, he would let us see that he would break the seal, so that the owner would know that the driver of the truck had not stolen any of the goods that were in the back of the truck. So this word seal has a broad meaning, and I believe it refers to all the things. I think of another meaning is In the old days, and I suppose to some extent today, when a king would make a declaration, he would put his seal on the thing. And that by that, everybody knew that this was the order of the king. This is the king's seal, and nobody dare touch it, and everybody better obey what this seal was. We use this seal today. If you have a corporation, they'll give you a little seal, a little stamp. And if you want to open up a new bank account or something, you have to go into the bank with this little paper, and maybe the secretary or the president of the corporation has to sign, and then over his signature, you press this little seal, and it's a raised seal, and it means that they have authority then to handle the funds of this corporation. So it, to some extent, your signature is also somewhat of a seal. You're saying that this is, that you kind of put your seal on your checks, you write it and say, this gives my authorization to send $200 to John Doe, okay? So, hallelujah. So hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God. Now, let us see. Oh, one more thing here. Go back to verse 2. And I saw another angel. By the way, these angels, the word angel means a messenger. And I have every reason to believe that these are God's angels. Okay, I don't believe they're the devil's angels. God is in control of them. The ones that are standing on the four corners of the earth, they're under the control of God. If God gives something to release, then it's released. Maybe something's been released over there in a limited area over in Los Angeles, California.
May I say something, Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
Most of the time, these seals are put on so that they're opened at a certain time, the special time when you open the seal.
Okay.
In other words, they're put on us, so we're opened at a certain time. And they're put on, you know, the meter, the electric meter, so they're opened at a certain time when we're by a certain person.
Yeah. All right. So
when the timing's right.
There's a timing in God that's involved in all this. Now, under those four angels controlled by God, I believe they're God's angels. Now, there's another angel. Now, remember, the word angel literally means messenger. It doesn't necessarily mean a spiritual being, but for the most part, it usually is. Now, here we have another angel. And I saw, verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east. Now, angels that Abraham met, these are angels that I believe descended. They came from the heavenly realm down into kind of a natural realm so they could communicate with a natural man. He was still a natural man in a natural place, and they had natural business that they were going to do in a natural city of Sodom. So here we have another angel ascending. So this angel is coming up. Ascending means coming up. Where is he coming up from? He's coming up from the earth, the realm where we spend most of our time. But he's coming up from the east. Now, what is the meaning of east? Why is he not coming up from the north, the south? What is the meaning of east? East, of course, is the mind of God. So we're getting something now from the mind of God that's coming from among men. So this angel arising from the east, from among men, is, I believe, the apostolic end time message that we're getting in this, in these days and in this hour, from those who have this end time apostolic word. It isn't just one person, it's a many-membered ministry that is bringing this word, and bringing this word even today to the group that we have gathered here. So we can be part of that angel that is bringing this this seal, angel ascending from the east, and he had the seal of the living God. So we understand what the seal does, what its purpose is, but what is the thing that is going to cause the sealing? What will seal us, brethren? Not a little wire, not a little stamp that has ink on it or anything like that. What is it that's going to cause us to be sealed? Brethren, I believe it is the word of God. This angel, this messenger, this ministry, this fivefold ministry has the word of God. And as the word of God flows over our minds, flows over our understanding, flows past our ears, and we receive it and we take it in, it's causing us to be sealed. I don't know, how many years have I known Brother Campbell? Probably 40, 44, maybe 44 years or something. And I remember he came to our fellowship, it must have been at least 20 years ago, and he brought a word about sealing. And he said, brethren, we are right now at this time being sealed. All right, I believe it. I believe at that time we were being sealed. But we are being sealed yet today. So how long is this process take? How long is it going to take for us to be sealed and have the finality that the angel can say, okay, they've been sealed. Now the winds from the four corners of the earth can be loosed. So we are being sealed. Let me go to another passage here in Revelation. Let me go to chapter 9. Maybe we can see some things that are going to be released. And the fifth angel sounded. This is the trumpets now. Okay. And they saw a star fall from the heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. We've talked about this before. This is the abyss. This is where the certain fallen angels, demons, have been locked up from the time of their fall. And he opened the bottomless pit. All right. So there was a star. A star is what? A fallen, somebody that had the capability of being a son of God, maybe somebody that was a son of God that has fallen and has been given the key. The key, what son of God fallen would be given a key to open the bottomless pit? What would be the point of that? You know, when I read this, I think of a fallen star, a star being somebody that's preaching the word of God, somebody that's understanding the word of God, but somebody that's turned back. And given the key, I think of the same thing as he's using that key. In other words, he's using a message that he's preaching, and the use of his message is having enough of an effect on the population that it opens up the bottomless pit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, the word that people speak, the word the word that politicians speak, it affects people. It affects the activity that goes on in the world. You know, the people from the Mideast that are preaching, oh, I forget what their word is that they use, Fatah or holy war. I don't know these Arab words too well. Holy war. How are they stirred up? They're stirred up by the preaching that somebody's giving them that's saying, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to protect our religion. We need to protect our culture. And so it opens up hell, and hell begins to come forth. He says, and he used the key. He wasn't just given it. He used the key. This is a religious man, a man who once stood with Christ. He used that key and he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke. In other words, something wicked came out of that pit. Amen? Out of the pit as a smoke of a great furnace. Boy, here we have fire again. Here we have a furnace. Amen? I believe this is spiritual fire, spiritual smoke. And the sun, which the sun speaks of the revelation of God, the revelation of God. Amen. How many believe the knowledge of God in our day, in our generation, the belief in the principles of God, how many believe that that's being darkened in our day and in our hour? It's being darkened in our schools. Amen. I don't know about your schools in Nigeria, but I tell you what, they're being darkened here in America. Hallelujah. The sun and the air were darkened. Amen. By reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. These are demonic spirits that are coming out. And unto them was given power. And the scorpions of the earth have power. Amen. And it was commanded them that, here it is again, destruction, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. So now these are being kept from all Christians, weak Christians, strong Christians, any Christian that has life, green, amen. But only those men that have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So only those who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So it would appear that even a weak Christian can get the seal of God in their forehead. Are you reading it the same way? Neither, not the grass or any green thing nor any tree, only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So it's going to be very important that brethren submit to the seal. Now, I don't know. I'm sure there's people that don't understand what I'm saying right now. They're Christians that have never thought of these things. Does that mean that they can't be sealed? I don't believe so. I believe if you just continue to yield your life to the Lord, desire to have the fullness of Christ, continue to practice your life, continue to order your life, continue to allow the Spirit of God to discipline your life. I believe there's a lot of people out there in other churches that are probably calling on the name of the Lord. They're just not getting the word from the pulpit. They don't understand. Maybe they're not encouraged. But I still believe there are many people that are doing this. Amen. Now, let me go to one more place here in Revelation before we move on. The 11th chapter, the first two verses. And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. So what he's asking for here is to measure what? The holy place and the holy of holies, okay? And the altar, now that would be the golden altar, okay? That's not the brazen altar. And the altar and them that worship therein. So this is talking about a church, those that worship in this realm, in the realm of the holy place, okay? But the court, which is without the temple. Now that's the outer court. He said, leave it out, measure it not. So how do we, by the way, ask the same question. How do we get sealed? How do we get measured? How are we measured? Amen? Measure this temple. Well, we're measured by the word of God. We're measured by what we have in the Bible. We're measured by the word that is preached from the Bible. And as we hear that word, we take that word and we put that measuring stick alongside of how we're doing and say, Lord, am I doing all right? And we might be saying, Lord, I'm not doing too well here in the realm of my emotions. I'm getting all upset over things. I'm getting very angry. I'm getting so I can't tolerate people anymore. Lord, I need help. I'm going to blow up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that if you don't help me. But the word of God comes. There's no other standard that we can measure ourselves than the word of God. If you go to measure yourself by the great philosophers of the world, you're going to miss it, brother. You're going to be in a very sad place. So the court that is outside, leave it out, measure it not. It is given unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles would be what? The Gentiles would be what's blowing on the from the four winds of the earth, is moving the Gentile system, moving them this way, moving them that way, trend going here, trend going over there. And the holy city, which is the people of God, amen, the outer court, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Amen. Well, I don't need to. Well, I'll go to the third verse because these, I think, are those who have really got the seal. But I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. This is not a party, brethren. Clothed in sackcloth. Hallelujah. All right. There's an interesting verse in Ephesians, I might as well throw it in here, about the seal. And let's just keep this in mind. We go to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 30th verse. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we've talked about the process, but what is this stamp from God? What is it called? It's called the Holy Spirit. It's our link to the heavenlies. It's our link to the Heavenly Father. He speaks to us spirit to spirit. His spirit ministers to our spirit. And Lord, we ask you that you would continually tune our spirit to the frequency that we will not miss anything that the Father is speaking by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, when we look, let's look at the history of sealing, and we go back to the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. And when we say Genesis 6, you know immediately that we're going to be talking about Noah. So Genesis 6, way back at the beginning. Let me just read a few verses here. And start in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt. Was Noah corrupt? No, I don't believe he was. But the earth was corrupt. The carnal realm of humanity on the earth was corrupt. The carnal flesh realm. Amen. And the earth was filled with violence. Hallelujah. I don't know whether the news is suddenly reporting things that they never reported before and just let it be. But what I'm hearing is violence, violence, violence. And I don't even want to know the details of it all. Just to know that violence is breaking out, and it seems to be more. There's more people want to come into crowds with weapons, and they want to take out as many people as they can. Brethren, I am saying right now, before you ever go into any big gathering of any kind, make sure that you have the witness of the Holy Spirit to be there. I don't think that these big gatherings anymore are safe places to be. There's always somebody that the devil is ready to send in to begin to kill as many people as he can for whatever reason. And I think it's going to increase, brethren. I really do. So let's go on. The earth was corrupt, it says, and God looked on the earth. How many of you believe that God is aware of what's going on today? He's not blind. You know, we cannot say God doth not see. You know, he just wound it up and set it on a shelf and let it play out. Let it do whatever it's going to do. No, he looks. He sees. Amen. He looked upon the earth in the same manner that he looked upon Sodom and he saw what was going on. God is aware of the corruption of the thinking and the minds that are going on. These are supposedly intelligent people that are totally deceived. I can't believe it. People that are intelligent enough to run massive size governments, massive size economies, and yet their mind is deceived. Hallelujah. And the Lord looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Lord, we don't want to dwell in the realm of all flesh. Hallelujah. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh. Oh my goodness. Flesh is coming to an end. Flesh used in the church, flesh used in ministry. God wants to bring that to an end and see that we worship him in spirit and in truth, not in flesh. Amen. The end of all flesh has come before me. So what's he going to do about it? For the earth is filled with violence. There he said it the second time. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. All right, so this is how God is going to deal with that generation of flesh. He's going to bring destruction. Here's his plan now. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. So what he's telling Noah to do is to make a vessel of deliverance. Now, what are the sons of God? What is their place to be in the time of tribulation on this earth. What is the purpose of the sons of God? What are we to accomplish? Brethren, we are to be to for God a vessel of deliverance upon this earth. We are to be, in the spiritual sense, what the ark was in a natural sense. And what was the last thing that Noah was to do when the ark was finished? He was to pitch it. Let me read that again. Pitch it within and without with pitch. In other words, he was to seal. The last thing that happened to that vessel of deliverance was that it was to be sealed. So we, as a company of the sons of God, a company of those who have the mind of Christ, we are going to be sealed before the deluge comes, before the flood comes that is going to bring destruction to the flesh and the carnality and the wickedness and the violence and the corruption of the earth. So to preserve, as Connie was saying, the fruit that is in the jar, to preserve, to seal it, preserve it, what is in there. Amen. Not only does it preserve it, but it prevents that which is outside from coming in and destroying it. Amen. All right. There's another example of sealing, and I find that in the book of Exodus, in the second chapter. There was another ark, a very small one, an ark that had only one passenger in it, and he was a very small passenger, a very helpless little passenger, but he had a great future. He was a son of God in the making. And let me read the verses here. I'm looking at 2:3. Well, let's start in verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So he's marrying his cousin, okay? And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly son, she hid him 3 months. Amen. Now, why did she have to hide him? We didn't read the whole part of the first chapter, but Pharaoh, who represents the king of the earth, who is a type of Satan in charge of Egypt, Egypt being a type of the world, Satan had decided that he was going to kill as many young newborns as he could. What's going on today? As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Moses, maybe even. A lot of newborns are being killed before they can even be born. I don't know. Sometimes you read how many hundreds of thousands of them have been killed. I wonder, is Satan trying to get at a future Moses here in trying to kill all these babies? Well, let's read on. And she saw that he was a goodly child. Amen. And when she could no longer hide him, what is this about a three-month-old that he's not easily hid? Who are the mothers that have raised little babies here? What happens when they get to be about 3 months old? Any mother here can tell me what happens? Why would you have to start hiding him then? Well, I think they get noisy at that time. They begin to become little people. You know, they're no longer just little things laying there, drinking and wetting their diaper and all that. They've got some little personality that's beginning to come forth. So she could no longer hide him. He was making too much noise. And she took for him an ark of bulrushes. So it was made of a natural material that grew along the flags of the river, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch. Now, slime and pitch are really the same thing. It's bitumen. What was happening is that what we can say is that tar, we call it tar, but it's actually some form of crude oil, was coming up through the ground. So there was oil that was seeping up already. And she took this heavy bitumen or tar, and she covered the whole outside of this little ark that she had made, and she made it waterproof. She covered it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Miriam watched over baby Moses, and the princess of Egypt, the daughter of the Pharaoh, came and claimed that as her own child. So that's the history of Moses. All right, now we're going to have to go to Exodus to finish this message here. I meant Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter 9, but I'm going to say that chapter 8 and chapter 9 probably should be the same chapter, because the things that are being said in chapter 9 refer back to chapter 8. So let me just read the first 7 verses of chapter 9. Okay? And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Again, these are messengers of the Lord that are being brought, that have some kind of oversight over, amen, the people of God. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate. Now, 6, the number 6 refers to humanity. So humanity, some realm of humanity was involved here in a type of judgment that's going to take place. Okay? 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. Now, why is it important for God to keep mentioning these directions? This angel that had the seal, he wasn't coming from the north, was he? He was rising from the east. He was rising from the mind of Christ. He was the mind of God. Now, these are now coming from the north. And from my understanding, things that come from the north are not coming to do something that we would say is something good. They're coming to bring harm. They're coming, you know, north is where the cold comes from, the Arctic chill, the makes you miserable, makes you cold. And as we look through the Bible, the hordes of invaders that are coming from the north, they're coming to bring destruction. Amen. So coming from the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. In other words, he had a weapon, you might say, that would be capable of beheading, a very wicked looking sword in his hand. It's not just going to bring a few pinpricks. It's really going to bring death and destruction. A slaughter weapon in his hand. All right. Among the 7, or among the 6, comes a 7th. It says, and one man among them. So a different one now. One, the 7th, The seventh is what? God's servant. Amen. Well, maybe the others are God's servants too, but in a different manner. Okay. One man among them was clothed with linen. So clothed with linen speaks of what? Speaks of a type of ministry, perhaps. Okay. Clothed with linen. The priests were clothed with linen. Amen. And he had a writer's inkhorn by his side. So we have a clue here. A writer's inkhorn speaks of somebody that conveys the word. He was also a scribe. He was also a teacher. Amen. He was a wordsmith, perhaps. A writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside, okay, the brazen altar. Now, this is not the golden altar. This is not the place of the sacrifice of the soul. The brazen altar is what? What does that brazen altar mean? What does it refer to? Judgment. Amen? The brazen altar, when we come to the brazen altar in our coming to the Lord, we are putting the hand of judgment on our past, on our sin, on our carnality, on our wicked nature. Amen? So they're standing beside the brazen altar, which means they're going to execute judgment. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up, amen, from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. So the glory of God went up, lifted, amen. And he called to the man clothed with linen. So he's calling to the one man now, the one with the writer's inkhorn, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, all right, this is the ministry, I believe, of that angel that is, we found that angel over there in Revelation 7, I believe it was. He had the seal of God. This inkhorn that he has is the seal of God now. And what he's dealing with here is he's dealing with his people. He's dealing with the church. So let's move on. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, which is God's city. It's, shall we say, the broad realm of Jerusalem, okay? The city of God. Go through the midst of the city and the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark on the foreheads. All right, again on the forehead. On the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Now, what is the criteria of you getting the mark on your forehead? He didn't say set a mark on those who pray a religious prayer seven times a day. He didn't say set a mark on those who do lots of sacrifices. He didn't say set a mark on those who give a lot of money to the poor. What he's looking for is those who have a mindset that is so set to the mind of Christ that they find it an abomination when people are not acting according to the mind of Christ, and it grieves them. It grieves them so much that they are sighing and crying. What are they crying? What are they crying out? What do you suppose they're saying? You can help me here if you have a revelation from God. What are they saying? I believe they're saying, oh God, how long? Oh God, when are we going to do, when are you going to do something about it? Oh God, how long do we have to put up with this? Oh God, will they go ahead and pollute the whole church? God, can't you put a stop to this thing? God, it's destroying people. I mean, it's deceiving people. Oh God, please. So somehow this one who is putting the seal, somehow it has spiritual knowledge of where you are and sets a seal. Now, this is not a natural seal, by the way. The word seal is not a natural thing. You will not see this. You will never go down the street and see things written on the foreheads of God's people. Now, the devil's people, you might see all kinds of stuff written on their forehead, but not on God's people. Amen? And, okay, to the others, now to the other six, he said, in my hearing, I heard him say it. Go ye after, follow him through the city and smite. That's not a good word, is it? Smite. That means kill. Smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. In other words, anyone that doesn't get that seal is going to get hit with that slaughter weapon. Now, we're talking spiritually here, but some of these things could happen in the natural too. Okay? Slay, that means kill, utterly, completely. Utterly means what? To destruction. Old and young. Young? Really? Both maids. We've got the teenagers here, the little children, and the women. They're not going to get excused here. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark or the seal, and begin where? At my sanctuary. Begin in the church. Begin at the Holy of Holies. Begin at the holy place. Well, there won't be anybody in the Holy of Holies. It would be the holy place. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. Who are the ancient men? What's another word for ancient? Another word would be elders, the leadership, the mature ones, the ones that are supposed to know better, the ones that have been listening to the word of God most of their life. They should know this word by now. And he said to him, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. Now let me refer back here to chapter 8 for just a minute. When we talk about, he started with the ancient men. Now it doesn't mean he finished there. He just started there. He started with the church leadership, the church mature ones. Oh my, I guess some of that refers to us, doesn't it? So back here in chapter 8, when the Lord lifted him up by his hair and took him, and brought me, in verse 3, brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate, and looked toward the north, where was the seat of image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. See, there's idolatry involved here. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to my vision that I saw in the plain. Now, let's go on here. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north, So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of God, seest what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged, this is spiritual now, he's revealing the secret thoughts and intentions of the mind. Okay. Behold a door, and he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall, round about. He's seeing the imaginations of the mind. And there stood before them 70 men. 70 is the number of eldership. 70 men of the ancients, or the elders, of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jehaziah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. It was quite religious in there, but it was quite corrupt in their thinking. So, brethren, when you measure yourself after hearing that angel with the seal of God in his hand, you say, Oh God, the imaginations of my mind. Oh God, what am I going to do about it? Oh, please, God, purge me of these things. Do not let me think in these manners anymore. Do not let these images come into my mind. Hallelujah. Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients, the elders of the house of Israel do? In the dark, every man in the chambers of his image, his imagination. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, and the Lord hath forsaken the earth. No, he hasn't. Now, one of the things that he saw, let me go back down here. We'll skip over what the women were doing. They were weeping over Tammuz. Basically, they were involved in the 40 days of Lent before Easter. That's what that 40 days of Lent is all about. Weeping over Nimrod, because Nimrod had finally been taken out. And yet the spirit was still there. So coming down now to the men, he said, you shall see greater abominations than these. So verse 16, he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, amen. And what do we usually find in the positive sense between the porch and the altar? The weeping and the repenting, amen. But it wasn't going on now. There were about 25 men. Now the number 25, amen, speaks of the priesthood. Okay, David set 24 courses of priests, and there would probably be one more that would be the chief priest. So 25, amen, of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. Now what are they doing now? In this case, east is not a good place to be, because they were doing what? They worshiped the sun toward the east. You know what they were doing? They were having an Easter sunrise service. By the way, did you ever have an Easter sunrise service at your church? Yeah, I had one. I'd never been to one, but this little church in the mountains got this, we were at, they got this new pastor. He was young, he didn't know much, but he was, they sent him in the assembly. And he said, hey, it's Easter, we're gonna go have tomorrow morning, get up real early. We're gonna go out and have an Easter sunrise service. Well, I'm not even sure I went. If I did, I don't know that anything happened except that they were looking at the sun and I don't know, somebody must have made a prayer or something. But God thought that this was really an abomination. The practice of these heathen holidays is in God's eyes an abomination in the church because it has nothing to do with Christ, Jesus Christ, has nothing to do with it. We don't need to go into detail. Anyway, that kind of judgment in the church. How's our time going? Oh my. Well, let me just hasten to say, I'll go back to Revelation for a minute, because the mark, the seal of God is a completely different thing than the mark that the enemy puts on the forehead of his people. Let me show you in Revelation 13. And we'll start in verse, this is the beast now. This is the work of the beast, okay? And it's under the same heading as the beast out of the earth. And verse 14, I guess we'll start there. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. How many of you believe that's being happening right now? The people of the earth are being deceived. He deceiveth them. Oh, God, help those who are yours. Pray for those of your brethren who are drinking of this cup of deception. My God, it's a terrible deception. It's a blinding upon the eyes. They're almost helpless. They cannot shake it off. It's so heavy. By means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, I don't know if this is a hologram that's shown in the sky or what it is, but that could very well be what it is. Amen? To give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all. Listen to this, all, both small and great, rich and poor. It sounds like the billionaires are not going to be exempt from this one. Rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, this is not the same. This is not the same word. It has a different meaning. The mark of God in our forehead is a spiritual something that takes our mind, is set on the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Set a mark, okay? But this is a different mark. When you look this up, it seems to be that it could be something physical. The description that I remember reading is like taking something very, very heavy and very sharp with a point, and inscribing something even on a metal plate of some kind. All right. In other words, it could be something physical, but we're basically referring to a spiritual happening here. The mind and the works, the mind and the hand, have been given over to this system. Whatever the doctrine that this thing has preached, people have bought it. They've said, this is the way to world peace. This is the way that we're going to have our economy restored. This is the way we're going to have safety, peace and safety. They bought it, all right? And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this could be something embedded in the forehead or in the hand. It could be. There has to be, if they can't buy or sell, it has to be some way that the people where they collect the money there in the stores.
Can you just sit down?
What is that, Rita?
Listen.
The checkout counter. Some
cashiers.
What is it?
Cashiers.
Cashier, yeah. Something at the cashier counter that they can scan you, that you are legitimate, that you have a right to buy and sell. Okay? Now, by the way, I heard that they're planning to do away with the UPC code. How many of you heard that? You know what they want to replace it with? What is that other thing called? QR code.
Hologram.
Blockchain.
What was the last one?
Blockchain. It's going to be the new way they're going to do everything, the new internet, everything. It's all going to be run through blockchain.
Now, that's something you can scan with your phone, right?
You will be able to, yeah. All your transactions can be done right from your phone. They actually have it out now for the people that deal in crypto.
Okay. So we have a real possibility here. I'm not definitely prophesying and saying that's going to be it, but I see a very, very high probability that that's the type of thing that'll be used, and it would be something injected under the skin. Could be in the hand, could be in the forehead. You know, they put these things in their dogs now. If your dog wanders off and they catch him 40 miles from home, they can scan him and say, oh, this is John Doe's dog back there in Pittsburgh. Send the dog back to him. So they'd be able to trace human beings in the same. It does work. You know, they can tolerate the thing in the skin. It doesn't kill them. So here's the possibility of what it could be. Satan wants to try to duplicate everything that God does. Now, Satan cannot put the same kind of a seal on people, so he puts on his cheap substitute, and he's going to try to control humanity in that manner. Well, I think we've gone far enough. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe we can, the end, by the way, we need to go one more verse here. Revelation chapter 4, and come down to verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Well, there comes a point somewhere, and God will have to reveal that to us. There comes a point where we will not be able to participate in that system. Now, I don't know what that point is. It's not carrying a card. I don't believe it is, but I believe there is a point. And those who participate, here's what it says. They're gone. They're lost. Forever. Eternally lost. Let me read one more verse from Matthew 24. It's it's about the four winds. I think this is the verse I want to read. Matthew 4, 24, 15. Amen. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them be in Judea, flee unto the mountains. Yeah, well, that's the one I have written down here. Amen. The other one that I wanted to read is still here in Matthew 25. Oh, here it is, yes. Verse 30. It's about the four winds, all right? The four winds speak of not only the scattering is not really a good thing. Just like a bomb goes off and people are scattered to the four winds. But it also speaks of, you know, brethren, we have been scattered to the four winds. And we're going, there's coming a day when the Lord is going to gather us from being scattered to the four winds. Listen to this. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. No more scattering, brethren. We're going to be one in Christ. And Christ himself is going to do it. Amen. I'm going to turn the recording off. I'm sure we've got a lot to share here.